Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller,
editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, which I established in 1987, back when Ronald Reagan was president. And I'm also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, Mondays right after Raw, Tuesdays right after SmackDown, Wednesdays at 1 Eastern with the midweek flagship talking all kinds of current events in pro wrestling, and Thursdays at 1 Eastern with the Interview Thursday format. Tomorrow, the Primetime Friday edition hosted by Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant at 7 Eastern. And then Saturday Morning Wrestling with a nostalgic approach to pro wrestling coverage. That begins 11:30 Eastern on Saturday mornings. Pat McNeil filling in for Jim Valley this week. And we've got a big guest on today's program. One of my favorite guests on the live cast, a second appearance this year, Kevin Nash. Formerly, of course, of the NWO, former WCW headline wrestler, world champion, and booker, formerly Diesel in the WWF, and he might have wrestled for WCW before that. There's a couple names. Oh, yeah, Vinnie Vegas and a couple others. We may or may not talk about those. So he'll be with us in just a moment. I do want to let you know that the PW Torch Livecast is brought to you by Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all your favorite sports gear delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. Pick out your favorite sports team from many pro and college sports, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find great sports gear so you don't have to go searching, and you don't have to overpay. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It also makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use promo code PWTORCH, all one word, PWTORCH, at checkout and get 30% off your first month. That's fanessentials.net, not .com, fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. All right, our phone number, if you want to talk to Kevin Nash, if you want to ask a question or bring up a topic, is 515-605-9345. Once again, that's 515-605-9345. You can also email us a question if you're listening to us live at 102 Eastern on Thursday, September 15th, 2016. You can email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Kevin, welcome back to the livecast.
Hey, Wade, how's it going?
It's going really well. Good to hear from you. Do you want to start with CM Punk? I'm curious what you thought of Punk's foray into the UFC.
There's not much to say. It wasn't much of a fight.
Yeah. Well, what did you... Let me backtrack a little bit and be a little more specific with the questions. When CM Punk announced a couple years ago that he was going to train for UFC, did you think he would end up fighting, or did you think somewhere along the line he would run into problems one way or the other, or back out and have an excuse?
No, I mean, I thought he would. I mean, I thought he would fight. I mean, I didn't think it would take 2 years.
Yeah.
But I thought he would fight.
And as the match approached the last couple weeks, I don't know how much you followed, you know, what he was saying and what people in MMA were saying, but did you have expectations that it would go differently than it did? Did you do any research or hear about Mickey Gall as his opponent? Like, what kind of thoughts did you have going into that, just observing what you were able to observe about it?
I mean, I think anybody that's ever been, like, has boxed or have done MMA or any kind of actual competitive fighting, where it's, you know, there's a fight set, and, you know, you've got a date, you've got a time, you know, it's, you know, people get in fights in, you know, in bars, and it's out at the moment, and it's adrenaline, and it's, you know, booze or whatever. That's a completely different psychology when you actually know that, you know, at 9 o'clock on this night that you're going to get in the, you know, going to get in the octagon or get in the ring with somebody, and it's you, and that person's going to try to knock you out or make you tap or what or whatever. So just the psychology of that alone, you know, if a person's had one pro fight and you've had zero, he's got a huge advantage. Like CM Punk in his next fight will be much improved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, well, you know, he just didn't. The thing was to me is you knew that the guy was going to like dive you. I mean, I would have got that with all my money.
Yeah.
He was just going to get him on his back. And, you know, I don't know. I just really thought that whoever would train Punk would have had him to be a better striker.
Were you surprised?
I thought that Phil came in. I thought Phil came in soft.
Yeah.
Well, but he didn't look like he was in very good shape.
I thought that. I mean, obviously, well, one thing to me that was obvious is the weight cut was something just Punk hadn't gone through before. You know, he was a week and a half before the fight in the media conference call. He and Mickey Gall were on for about an hour. You know, somebody asked, you know, what's going to be the biggest challenge going into this fight, and one of the things Punk said is weight cut. He goes, I'm walking around over 200 pounds. You know, I mean, I don't think he's ever had to lose 30 pounds in a week and a half and then make cut and then rehydrate and get that energy back a little over 24 hours later. I mean, he didn't talk a lot about that because I don't think he's one to make excuses. That's just, I don't think, of all things good or bad about Punk, just come, you know, losing and then making a bunch of excuses. Just, I didn't expect that from him and we didn't get it from him. I bet the weight cut played a factor. Now, I'm not saying the fight would have gone a lot differently because it might have come down to he just didn't have the technique yet or the strategy. And like you said, you know, the first time in, you just don't know.
My question is, if you know what the weights you're going to come in at. I mean, I'm 293 pounds. If I had to come in at 265 for the weigh-in, I sure as hell wouldn't a week out be 290 pounds.
Right. I know. Yeah. Now, I mean, sometimes games are played. Maybe Punk was actually better, you know, in better, closer to the weight, just said that to get Mickey Gall thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. This guy's going to be drained for weight cut. I mean, you know, those games are played. But he, after the fight, Joe Rogan said, I like Punk. I respect how he approached this. But I think he was delusional in thinking that he could come in at his age and compete in UFC as his first fight. What's your take on that, Kevin?
Right. I mean, 37 is very old to be getting in the fight game.
Yeah.
You know. And the thing is, somebody told me he got paid $500,000 for that fight.
Yep.
So to me, it's just like, you can say whatever you want about CM Punk, Phil, whatever the fuck you want to call.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole thing is, you get paid $500,000 for a minute and 38 seconds of work. In my book, that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he got paid that.
I'll take a beating for that.
Although I will say that he got paid $250,000 a year to train 6-7 days a week. You know, and in that sense, I mean, he forewent. He gave up whatever he could have been doing instead to earn money those previous 2 years, autograph circuit, wrestling, comic book creating, whatever it was. You know, there was an opportunity cost for those 2 years, too, that when people look at that, and granted, that's still a lot more money than most MMA guys get, you know, when they go into a fight.
Right.
It's more money than any first-time fighter ever has gotten in UFC. So, you know, there is that. But, you know, I bet Punk would have done this for less, Kevin. I mean, I think he's financially well off. I don't know what lawyer fees are costing him with this doctor lawsuit with the WWE doctor. But, you know, he's got seven figures stashed away after taxes and road expenses from his time in that company. I don't think I would guess he doesn't have probably more than $5 million, but he's got more than $1 million. That'd be my best estimate. He's got some money to play around with if he lives, you know, relatively within his means. So I bet he would have done this for less just to do it. I don't think that he did this just for the money or primarily.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his prerogative was.
Yeah, yeah.
If it wasn't by, I mean, to me, if it wasn't, I mean, if he signed for that kind of money, obviously that was a factor.
Well, yeah. I mean, he should have. I bet. I mean, the early buy rate indications, we had a story on this over at MMATorch.com yesterday. There's some indications this buy rate did very, very well. I mean, not 1.8 million, but more than 500,000 and maybe quite a bit more than 500,000.
Right.
That'd be way over estimates. That means Punk was a bargain. From a pure business standpoint, he was a bargain, and he doesn't have
right.
to apologize to anyone.
I think Dana White knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Just because, I mean, helped. I mean, you know, when Punk was on top and the WWE, his merchandise sold.
Yeah.
He was super over, so I mean, that fan base follows.
Do you think the way CM Punk lost is in any way a bad reflection on pro wrestlers or the pro wrestling industry? And I ask that question also in the context of some WWE wrestlers getting upset with Conor McGregor taking a dig at pro wrestlers, and Roman Reigns was among, you know, the people calling them little and trying to fire back, hey, our, you know, kind of defensively, hey, our sport's tough. Other athletes have said that. Does Punk losing in that way validate people thinking pro wrestling isn't tough, or do you think people are savvy enough to understand that there's just a difference between the two criteria?
Well, I also think that there's a difference between the guys that do it. Not everybody's a tough guy that does pro wrestling.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, if it's MMA, I mean, you get weeded out pretty quick. You know, you're not gonna get a whole lot of fights on 23. You know, so it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, what we do is sports entertainment. What we do is a predetermined event. That being said, CM Punk in the main event at WrestleMania or SummerSlam is going to give you a great 25-minute match. So it's from a performance standpoint, what he did for our industry, he did it very well. I guarantee you that Phil's first match as a pro wrestler was the Drizzling Shits.
Yeah.
You know, so that being said, I mean, this is his first fight. And he's old. He's old to be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it took a beating.
I think in 1975, if a former world champion like CM Punk, who called himself the best in the world, lost like that, against a prelim guy with a 2-0 record who hadn't proven himself yet, that would have been damaging, and I think a lot of promoters would have stayed away from booking CM Punk in the future, and it would have hurt pro wrestling, and that Punk would have been ostracized or criticized. It's just 2016; it's a different world.
Right.
I mean, I don't even hear that topic being brought up much, but it's interesting.
But I don't think in 1975 that it wouldn't be a word.
Good point. Yeah.
It'd be a no-key Muhammad Ali, you know? It just wouldn't be a shoot. There's no way that in 1975 would be a shoot.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Kevin, we're going to go to our first commercial break. We'll be back very quick and start taking phone calls and catch up on what you're up to these days. Kevin Ash is my guest on today's PW Torch Livecast. We'll be back right after this word from our sponsor. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. Don't forget, you can support PW Torch and the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon by starting at Amazon. Instead of starting at Amazon.com, starting at PWTorch.com/Amazon. Just click on the link for the US or the UK. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were headed anyway. But we get a cut of whatever you buy on that shopping trip. And you can bookmark that page. And we continue to get a commission every time you visit that bookmark. So go to PWTorch.com/Amazon when you're about to shop
at Amazon. Kevin Nash is my guest, former WCW, WWF main eventer, world champion, and we just talked about CM Punk for a few minutes. Kevin, one more question that I can think of on Punk, and then we'll move to some other things. Do you think CM Punk is likely to fight one more time, multiple more times, and do you think it'll, what's your hunch, will it be in the UFC or otherwise, if so?
Did he sign a four-fight deal?
Yeah, although Dana White in the post-fight press conference gave some hints that that isn't locked in, you know, that he might not fight in UFC again. There's a pause. I think with the buy rate coming in high, he'll fight again, probably on Fox. But
right. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. I mean, at this point,
I would have expected a higher skill level after 2 years of training.
Yeah. I think people are curious after just seeing 2 minutes of him after two years of training. I think people just want to see again if he can do something against a different kind of fighter. I don't think you can draw a really confident conclusion about Punk's skill level because it could turn out he made one mistake. And, oh, by the way, Mickey Gall might be really good.
I think it's more the latter.
Yeah.
I think Gall's a lot better than people think he is. He's young. Yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, Punk had everything to lose and that kid had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And just if they would have taught him some Muay Thai, anything to just, when he came in, if he would have drove a knee in that kid's face, you know, anything. Yeah. Caught him with at least a hand to slow him down, but, you know, he went right underneath him and just took him into the cage. It was over.
Yeah, I mean, some people look at that and go, "Ah, Punk survived a minute or so longer because of those two years of training than he would have 2 years earlier." You know, there was maybe some signs that that 2 years paid off in only extending the inevitable.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, let's shift gears. What are you up to these days? Are you doing many wrestling appearances? Are you doing other things? What are you doing to stay busy? And what's what's getting you up every morning?
I get up. I mean, I just like to go to the gym every day. So, I mean, that's kind of I just kind of have a groundhog day.
Yeah.
I go to the gym at 1:30. I'm sitting in front of my gym right now. Go to the gym every day at 1:30. And that's just about it. I mean, that's my day. I've got several projects I'm working on. I've got an audition on Monday for a pretty big film. I've got a movie locked in March. I'm going to be shooting over in the UK for 30 days. I've got a couple other projects. One, I think I'm probably going to shoot it either in probably February out in Oregon, which is a lead role for me.
Cool.
So I'm a serial killer. So, yeah, I'm getting some good scripts and just... I'm just going to try to do the acting gig for a while. I still go out almost every weekend and sign somewhere.
Yeah. Are you, when you go out and sign, have you noticed a change over time in how people approach you and what they talk about? Because I hear even just through WWE Network that, and I don't know if we talked about it one of the times you've been on the show, but I know other wrestlers at least have, that WWE Network has, in a way that didn't exist a few years ago, introduced or made it much easier for fans who are younger who go to these autograph shows to understand what your contributions to wrestling were, what your big moments were, and talk about it more. Is that something you picked up on?
Yeah, I mean, there's more 8-year-old kids giving me the click sign than there are, you know, 25-year-olds in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and then by being like, if you make the game, then they pick you in the game. You know, they find your character, they like your character, so they pick it in the game, and you know they bring your doll in to get signed. I mean, it's. You know, it's like the network's like Netflix. I mean, for the young fans. I mean, there's so many kids that know. You know, like I had a 10-year-old kid the other day said, "I think your best match was against Bret Hart in Survivor Series."
That's cool.
I'm thinking, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of cool. So,
yeah.
I'm a little under the weather. I was in the UK for a week, and they've already got that thing going in the UK where it's 80 degrees outside, but they got the heat on in the hotels.
Oh, God.
You know, and you've got open the window, and it drops to 55 at night, and you end up getting sick because you're sweating. And I got that whole thing going, so that's why I sound so horrible.
You and Hillary, don't pass out on us. What?
No, I won't.
Let's go to some phone calls. We've got some people on hold here. Let's begin with area code 252, and then on deck will be 770. 250, go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from. 252, you're up.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, 252. What's
Andrew from Wilson, North Carolina.
You said Aiden?
Andrew from Wilson, North Carolina.
All right, cool. Thanks, Andrew. What have you got for Kevin?
Hey, Kevin. I met you about 7 years ago here in Wilson at Bill Ellis Convention Center. And I just want to say that was pretty cool. But I have a question. It's more of a personal question to both of y'all. And the way I'm a little person with achondroplasia, and the way little people are presented on wrestling a lot of times, and I was just wondering, is there any way you think in the future there will ever be a little person presented as a person rather than a leprechaun or a bull, rather a serious character? Like Game of Thrones, for example, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
He's presented as a person. Obviously, he's presented as a little person, but he's more than that. He's a character. He's a human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, fair question. Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and by you saying that just brings light to me that it is a stereotype that's kind of ridiculous. It's still very, you know, very 70s wrestling when they always, you know, take a little person and put them in that kind of a position. But it's, you know, how many big guys they put in the Andre the Giant Tarzan, big guys get stereotyped as a giant, you know, little people get stereotyped as elves, and it's just, yeah.
And I mean, Hornswoggle had a great run. I mean, he was, did great things there. He, you know, he's on everyone's screen, and it helped bring awareness, you know, I guess. More people got to see him, so whenever they saw a little person in the real world, it wasn't that shocking. But, I mean, it would just be nice, maybe, just to have someone, not necessarily be a bull or like a leprechaun, maybe presented, you know, just in a regular light. That's all I'm saying. Just didn't know what y'all thoughts were.
It'd be nice to have somebody that was an attorney. You know?
Yeah.
I say that, you know, just somebody's attorney.
Well, I mean, wealthy guy that was born in a wealthy family, but he just happens to be a little person, you know, but he's a dirty heel, you know, he's conniving, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be, obviously you can acknowledge it, you can bring in the storylines, but it doesn't have to be the center of the character, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I
agree.
Cool. Andrew, appreciate the call. Let's go to 770 next, and then got a couple callers on hold after that. Go ahead, 770.
Hey, Jimmy from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Jimmy, what have you got for Kevin?
Two quick questions. What is your opinion on Triple H's decision with NXT, and do you think that after he takes over for WWE that a lot of things are going to change like they did in NXT? And second one is, how many title reigns did you have when you were doing the booking in WCW?
How many title reigns did I have when I was booking?
Yeah, because I don't remember you really having any title reigns for your booking, and I think you always got criticized for putting strap on you.
I might have moved it once or twice to get it off to get it on somebody that somebody else wouldn't do a job for. I remember nobody wanted to put Booker T over, and I did. The first one, I think Paul did, it was Paul's baby with the NXT vision. I think that, you know, eventually when he is running the company, I think his vision, I think, you know, the NXT is the hottest product in the world right now as far as, you know, in pro wrestling. And I just think that, you know, I think that the main product will just grow with his insight.
When I tell you, Kevin, that Raw did a 1.88 rating on Monday, what's your reaction to that?
Man, that Mafia was doing 2.4s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the argument...
I just think 3 hours is too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting on a flight the other day. I had 7 hours and 45 minutes to be on this flight. And when I would pull up a movie and it would say 2 hours and 43 minutes, I'm like, I'm not watching that.
And you're stuck on a flight for 7:45, and you still watch. Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just if I give you 90 minutes of my time, it's just like, I mean, I watched The Room, which I hadn't seen yet. I watched that, which was, you know, was critically acclaimed. So, of course, I mean, it was, but just, you know, to watch some silly movie that I have no idea that it's good or bad and waste, you know, 2.5 hours of my time, it's just like, I'd rather read a book.
Yeah. I mean, when Nitro went 3 hours, that was a mistake, too. You know, I mean, you think we'd learn from history.
That was the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
2 hours is tight, crisp.
Yep. Well, when I interviewed Eric Bischoff, I did like a 5-hour interview with him talking about back, I think, around 2010. And we did like, I think, close to 5 hours talking about WCW and all that. And the thing that I remember most of the whole interview is I said, what was the biggest mistake that you made that you'd take back? And I think I remember it the best. There were two things that were in contention. Thunder, accepting that money from TBS to add Thunder and add that revenue, and Nitro going to 3 hours. I mean, it was the expansion of the quantity that watered down, not just the quality, it didn't just spread out how much fans wanted to watch, so that the overall audience for every hour of the 5 hours, by definition, went down. But also, it wore out the booking team. It overexposed main event talent. It's not something that you pay the price for right away. I think you pay the price over time, because people who love a certain wrestler love that wrestler, even if they're on even if they're on TV too often for a while. But over time, they become a lot less special. They become less of a commodity. You're never left wanting more. And then pretty soon, you just get worn out. And I just think WWE's... I think your reaction is my first reaction, too. The three-hour length is a problem. It was a problem for WCW. A lesson should have been learned from it. And WWE's paying the price now on Monday nights.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's...
Yeah, because to me, it's like, you know, the first 30 minutes of the show is, you know, walk and talk, set up the main event. They go to commercial break to come back, and it's like one of those detective shows where they recap it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm thinking like, well, geez, I mean, if you're programming the show for me, like, I didn't watch the first part, what is that telling me?
Yeah.
I would love to see the show start with a match.
This kind of gets into my follow-up question, what you just said, but what, when you look at the format of wrestling today, let's say they're 3 hours, let's say they're 2 hours, either way, what's the other thing that you think is contributing to the decline in the audience level? I mean, people say, oh, it's Netflix, it's on demand, it's this and that. A year ago, they did a 2.4 something every week in September, just about every week in September. I mean, this is a nearly 25% drop from just a year ago. And last I checked, Hulu and Netflix,
right,
HBO and on demand and YouTube were all around a year ago. So this is a sharp decline, not just from the Monday Night War era, which people say, oh, that's a different era. Sure, but what about a year ago? What else besides the 3-hour length? Because Raw was 3 hours a year ago. It jumps out to you, and I know you're not watching the product start, you know, every week these days, but what's your kind of, from a you know, 20,000 feet in the air perspective, what would you do? What do you suggest change?
I mean, one of the things for me is, I mean, because I travel so much still, it's just easier for me to sit someplace in an airport in a crown room and watch what I wanted to watch for Monday's night show on my tablet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just easier than, you know, because if I go downstairs and take up the TV room, you know, I mean, I'm taking up the TV room. You know, just to take up the big TV is just, so if you DVR it, you know, and then it's, you know, you DVR, the next, you know, you buzz through it and you're through the show in 25, 30 minutes because you're only going to watch the certain guys you want to watch. And that doesn't do anything because you get no feel of the flow of the show. So I think it's just just people are so. I'll tell you right now, like my son doesn't even watch TV.
Yeah.
He watches Netflix and plays video games. Like, he's just, like, there's nothing, like, no, and then when you actually try to watch network television, it's like, does America Have Talent? It's like 3 hours long. Ninja Warriors, 3 hours. Like, all those shows are the same thing. They just throw this blob of garbage out there and hope somebody digests it for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's just, did you watch the show Atlanta?
I don't. I've seen previews for it. So I know what you're talking about.
It's Glover that was in Magic Mike. He wrote it and stars in it, created the show. And I watched the premiere and then I watched another episode last night. And that's kind of like that's has such a real feel to it.
Yeah,
you know, it's got like really, I mean, and I watched that and I said there still is good programming out there, but it's you know shows like FX or channels like FX and those that are putting out the product.
Yeah, the idea, you know, growing up, and you got CBS, ABC, NBC, maybe Fox eventually, and whatever your local independent was, you know, you memorized the schedule, and you built your life around what was going to be on the event. Same thing with wrestling on weekends. And, man, it's, you know, it is different now. The word in WWE, not that USA is happy with a 1-8, obviously. But, you know, WWE's attitude is we got a good TV deal. We hope to get another one. But, you know, we're still relative to what USA Network's doing and what's happening in the larger cable television scheme. We're still doing good audience numbers. And so I think they just look at it from a relativity standpoint. And to a degree, they're right. I still say you should be alarmed by losing 20-some percent of your audience compared to a year ago. That to me says something.
I really think that there's just no edge to the program.
Yeah,
you know, you can't a PG show. It's just PG show at 10 o'clock is not going to gather an audience.
Yeah,
not with the language that I watched on FX last night.
Oh wow, yeah.
I mean, there was nothing they couldn't say.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like watching an R-rated movie. You know, it's just like I don't see how you're going to gather anybody from the black audience when that Atlanta show's on with your programming, if you're PG.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you've got to be current. They're talking about the kids that are, they're watching it. You know what? Why don't you send out some control groups and sit at a bus stop where elementary kids are waiting to get picked up and see how they talk. See if anybody's saying they're going to beat each other's butts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's life, man.
Yeah.
But then again, with this in this PC world, it's just, we just continue to go backwards.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Do you have a public position on what's going on in politics, nationally, presidential?
Besides the fact that I'm watching International House Hunters so I can find some place to move?
either way, I mean, I don't want to. It's only obviously you've been sort of talking about your politics.
I would vote for, right now. I'm voting for Gary Johnson.
Yeah, you're going to be voting in Florida,
right?
If the polling suggests it's 42%, 42%, or 38, whatever, but there's two contenders going into that voting day. Do you still vote Gary Johnson, or do you choose then between Trump and Clinton? Because realistically,
I can't. I can't let Trump be in office.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm wondering is just, you know, standing back and looking at the scenario of the polls that include Gary Johnson, how many of those votes in close states will people say, all right, you know, if there was a 5-point difference, I'd keep my vote with Gary. But if it's tied, I got to either vote Trump or Hillary to keep one or the other out. I wonder in close states how much of that happens. But I don't know that it necessarily breaks strong for one or the other candidate statistically, even if all the Gary Johnson voters vote for either Hillary or Trump. I'm not sure there's a huge advantage for Hillary when that happens.
You know, my whole thing is it scares me because there's a lot of people that say they won't vote for Trump but will. You know, I think the racism has gotten so bad in the country again.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I just really think we've had such a slide. I mean, I actually had people like talk trash to me about Obama, and I'm thinking, does anybody not watch the news? Do they not watch the like economic indicators? Do they not? The market was like 7,000 when he took over. Like, I just know personally what my portfolio has done in 8 years, as opposed to the red line that it did with Bush. You know, and to me, it's just like, is Trump a Republican?
What?
Or is he just the best worker?
Well, one more politics question. When you say, I can't let Trump be president, what prompts you to say that? What scares you and causes you to look at international house hunters with the prospect of Punk going into office? All right, Punk. Trump.
I just think since he's been on the scene, like the hate levels went up. That's the last thing you need. You know, I really thought at some point in my life that instead of talking about kind of people, we would just be talking about like mankind. That would be the only kind of people. Just mankind is the only kind of people. We're still talking in shades and tones, sexual preferences. It's just like, get over it. But we don't. And it's just, you know, there's some 67-year-old lady got punched at a Trump rally 2 days ago. She's laying there with her oxygen gimmick in her nose. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want. I want these people.
All right.
And I like people that have less economic sense than I do. Going to have some really good plans for some really good jobs. We're going to bring our jobs back. You better hurry up because Ford just put out yesterday that they're moving all the small car plants to Mexico. So those are gone. Like, you know, how do you get them back? You know, for tariffs on U.S. automakers? It's just like, come on, what are you going to do? I haven't heard one piece of strategy. He's wavered on everything, from immigration to everything he's talked about, he's wavered on now. I mean, do you think he'll build a wall if he was nominated now? Hell no.
Yeah, I know you have strong points. I know you have strong points of view on politics. That's why I thought I'd ask with everything going on. You and I have had some talks.
It's nauseating.
Yeah.
My whole thing is I just can't wait for the first debate.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and that
when somebody actually has to, when there has to be an adult in the room, that's what I want to see.
I believe it goes head to head with Monday Night Raw. So you got a Monday Night Football game and the first debate going against Raw. I'm steering this back into wrestling for a minute, but it's relevant. I can imagine how low that rating's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a 1-5 or a 1-4 that Monday. I don't think they've ever faced that level of competition, given, you know, the ratings draw that Trump is compared to most politics.
Right.
That's going to be...
No, Trump does 18s on those things.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just...
Okay, let's bring a caller in here. New York City, home of Hillary and Donald. 718. State your name and where you're calling from.
What's going on, gentlemen? This is Mike from Brooklyn. How you doing, Kev? How you doing, Wade?
Doing good. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Hey,
for
what's up, man?
Last time I spoke to you, Kev, we all concurred, and we stand by the agreement of, you know, Joe coming up and being the opponent, you know, the ideal opponent for Brock Lesnar. Like, to add on to that, do you think, like, it would be more suitable for him to, like, come in, like, on SmackDown, and being such, like, Daniel Bryan is the guy that, you know, he can't go, you know, but he got the, you know, surprise opponent for The Miz, and it ends up being Joe, and then you just have him go on the tear from, you know, from, I guess, maybe the next pay-per-view all the way up until Mania, and have him be, like, the guy that Shane, you know, Shane McMahon chooses to go against Brock. And also, how would you have done, you know, the club in WWE? Because to me, like, it makes no sense to have, you know, Gallows and Anderson on Raw, and you have a SmackDown tag title now, and now you got AJ as world champ. And that's all I got today.
Thanks, Mike. Kevin, go ahead. Tackle those.
I didn't hear anybody.
You said you couldn't hear his questions?
No, I heard the question. No, I think the Joe thing, I don't know if I'd want him to beat Miz, because Miz is one of the few people, like, that belt kind of means something right now because it hasn't moved. So I kind of like him with that belt. But for me, Joe has just got to go in and start going through people.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got to get some wins. But I think they can do it in a slow enough fashion where it doesn't look like he's getting the ultra push as they keep him a part of NXT and have him just make appearances. But I think Lesnar and Joe would be a great main event at WrestleMania, if built right.
What about AJ and Anderson and Gallows and the club? I'm not in the camp that thinks WWE should put Anderson and Gallows and Styles together because of what they did in New Japan. I think you should put them together if it's best for 2016 WWE. Because I just don't think there's a huge enough... I think people who watch New Japan want to see that magic recreated, not because the whole WWE audience knows that they had this cool run in New Japan as much as they think they have a good chemistry together. But do you make that a priority, Kevin, what happened in New Japan and the chemistry that they had?
I think if you put Finn in it and you bring the Young Bucks in and you make it like a stable, but I think that because the Bullet Club was a lot larger than that, you just still kind of... They've already screwed it up. I mean, they killed Gallows and Anderson when they had that 6-man elimination tag, and they pinned them both.
Yeah,
but they were dead then. So now it's just like, okay, you've taken your lumps, you got over someplace else. Okay, now get over again. That's what you got to do. And, you know, I think that AJ has passed them. Like, I think AJ as an entity is, when I watched AJ basically turn seeing a baby face, I was just like, okay. Like, AJ's in his groove. AJ doesn't, you know, need anything else. AJ's AJ.
Yeah. No question. What, are you surprised, having been around AJ before, that and knowing Vince McMahon and heck, Triple H, are you surprised AJ's risen to become the centerpiece WWE heavyweight champ heel on SmackDown? Is you surprised that he was able to get this the breathing room to show what he can do like this and still get that kind of push at his size, at his age, with his southern accent?
You know what? He's such a likable person, and he just doesn't have any attitude. I think that he's so... I would use the word coachable, but probably programmable to do what they want him to do. And every time they asked him to do something, he delivered.
Yeah.
I think that goes so, you know, it's just, you know, when you're asked to do, you know, it's one thing to, especially when you're the creative, you lay something out, the person does it, but he gets 70% of what you wanted, as opposed to somebody that goes out there and does it verbatim and gets over. So it makes your envisionment like, okay, I knew that, like, he's producing for what he's being asked to do. And that goes a long way. So all of a sudden, it's just like immediately that trust and that bond is created. And then once that goes, then you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I think he's been phenomenal. Yeah,
AJ's just not going to go into business for himself.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, there are so many things. And you know, because you've been there behind the scenes, Kevin, there are so many reasons, some good, some not good, but that are used against or that are used as a rationale for not pushing somebody who the fans watching on TV see as talented and worthy of a push. And AJ doesn't have those traits. You know, AJ is the model employee in that sense, the model contractor.
Yeah. There's so many guys that are talented that have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder that rubs creative the wrong way, and they don't get those breaks.
Does anyone come to
That's
mind?
That's the whole thing about being sports entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about being sports entertainment. It's not like anybody's got to go out there and throw 92 miles an hour. It's not that anybody's got to hit a curveball. You're world champion because somebody tells you you're world champion.
Does anyone come to mind during the Monday Night War era, your whole time when you were immersed in wrestling, who would have been a big star, but their attitude, their reputation, actually cost them big time opportunities?
I think Scott Hall. Scott Hall would have not had some of the demons he had, would have been a multiple time world champion.
Yeah.
Wasn't like he couldn't promo. Wasn't like he wasn't a great worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about somebody like even lower on the card who you were like, this kid, he's going to be good, and then you got to know him and you're like, okay, scratch that.
I always thought Raven was way more talented than people gave him credit for.
Yeah,
I thought he had a really good mind, but he was just like, you know, the reason he got heat because he was annoying, and that's how he was in real life. But he was annoying. It, to me, it was like I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed his sarcasm. A lot of people just didn't get him.
Yeah,
I think his personality really held him back.
Raven's one of those guys. He was a big name in certain ways during that hot run of pro wrestling. And I don't, you know, like there's this talk now, you know, and Political had the story up today on Bill Clinton, no longer the closer. You have to be 38 years old today to have voted for Bill Clinton. And that, you know, he just doesn't have that influence now on the electorate that he did, you know, 8 years ago when Hillary was running. And even then it was diminished from what people anticipated it would have been when he left office. And now you have Obama, 58% approval rating. And Bill Clinton is kind of this afterthought in a lot of ways now, in terms of being able to help, you know, help Hillary or be an advocate for her. And I look at Raven. I mean, it's a weird tie-in, but like Raven comes across to me as somebody who had a big name during that time, but you had to live through it to know it. Because now there isn't that sense that if you didn't live through it to understand that Raven was, I mean, especially in ECW, especially on the first run. He doesn't like to talk much about the second run. But even in WCW, you know, he helped make Goldberg. You know, he was booked in that key match with Goldberg, Kevin. I think Raven deserves a higher place in the history books than I think he's currently getting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's, just
with a few minutes left in the show, let's try to get in a call or two and an email or two. 952, you're up next. State what city you're from and your first name, of course.
This is Brian. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
One question, and that's just in regards to the new championships that WWE has as of the brand split. And my question to you is in perspective to someone who is a newer viewer to the product. How do you explain or have them find investment in these championships that look almost identical and in many ways are? What's the difference between these two champions, and why should you care? I mean, it almost becomes like boxing, where it's so murky and so many different federations and stuff. It's like, who is the true world champion? And it's never really answered unless WWE does that at WrestleMania. But I don't think they're ever going to really want to do that until they decide to end this again and go back to a unified product. What is your guys' thoughts on the look of the championships? And then how do you think people in the end of this perceive the look of those championships being so, especially the women's, the tag team, and the world's universals looking so much alike? Thanks, guys, and
sure.
Have a great show.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you calling. Good to hear from you. Have you seen the new titles, Kevin? The new belts?
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I'm more a fan of that than I am the spinner or, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the final thing is this, is if, you know, if you put up a graphic once a week on each of the champions and has, like, you know, has the Miz as the IC champion, and then underneath it there was the top 10 quality, like in boxing, like these are the next 10 guys, this is the first, you know, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, in line for that shot. And that way, if 6 versus 10 happens at night and 10 goes over, that means something. Like, just, I think if you're gonna make it about belts and make the belts look so generic, then you've got to take the psychology of that we're fighting for these belts, right? This is what we're doing. Because all of a sudden, like, you know, Stone Cold had his own belt. You know, when Warrior was the IC, he had a different color belt. Like, they all fit the personalities of the people. It just, I don't know. It's like in boxing, you know, it's not the real belt and it's not green.
Yep.
I saw some British guy was holding a red world belt, and I'm like, what is that? Like, what belt is that? So I agree with him. It is. It is a lot. It's very convoluted. It's a lot like boxing.
I compare it to the Stanley Cup. I don't want, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins winning the Stanley Cup and skating around with a black and yellowish gold a cup that's shaped differently, that isn't the same one that Gretzky carried around when he was an Edmonton Oiler.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, let it be beat up. I don't let it be beat up and tired, but heritage, history, that legacy.
Yeah, go back if you're going to do anything. Mimic the first one.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, mimic the first belt.
Yeah.
Go back in time.
I totally agree. Just too many belts. I mean, it's. I get the reason they're doing it. Where did you come down on if they're going to do? Are you pro roster split, anti roster split, and then if you accept they are doing it, do you want one world champion floating between both brands, or do you like having two singles championships?
I mean, to me, if you cut Raw down to 2 hours, tighten both shows, and keep them separate, and then only have the inner SmackDown Raws at the 5 originals. You know, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series,
Mania,
WrestleMania. Yeah, and just keep it. And I always, King of the Ring was the first one added, so I make that the 5th one. But you know, just. The rest of them, I don't think it would kill anybody if, you know, if they did that. I mean, they've got to be separate. I mean, every time they do this brand split, within, you know, 6 months, it's all of a sudden it's diluted and people are jumping all over the place, and so.
Yeah. Well, do you like the concept of one world,
for me, I mean,
or do you like having a singles world champion on both brands, both shows?
I would like to be one world champion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my vote, too. I mean, I get the pros and cons. You know, Vince likes to have a world champion on both house shows. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, it used to be the IC champ was on, one, and,
yeah,
and the world champ's on the other.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a lot of WWF house shows in the 80s, and the IC champ or the tag titles or a Piper grudge match headlined. And And you had Hogan, yeah. Hogan on the other one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. An email question, Kevin, from Scott from Jamesburg, New Jersey. He says, I'm excited to hear Kevin will be back on the live cast this afternoon. I plan to call in, but if they don't get to me, here's my question. Did you and Scott Hall immediately hit it off in 1991 when you were together in WCW? And explain some of the differences in the locker room from WWF 1993 compared to the WCW locker room when you left. And then third, have your feelings on Kevin Owens changed at all since his debut last summer? All right, so those are his three topics. You can pick any of them.
Go backwards. Kevin Owens, yes, he's grown on me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm actually a Kevin Owens fan. I like his I watch his segments. Scott and I were, we hit it off pretty much the minute we met. We both were gym guys. We went to the gym. We're bodybuilding guys.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, immediately you look at a guy that's got a physique, you say, hey, do you go to the gym? He says, yeah. And that's it. Who you end up traveling with. Because you want to travel with somebody that's going to live your lifestyle. So, and then what was the other one? Between what?
Locker room when you first got in versus the end, WWF when you first entered versus WCW at the end.
Yeah, you know, when you first break in, you just, you know, we were that probably the last generation was taught by the old school guys. You get up and you give your chair to the veterans. And I remember I came back to, it was a WCW one time, and you know, it's like the natural born thriller guys came in and they took our bags and moved them and took our lockers. I'm just thinking, like, wow, like, who built you guys in? So, yeah, I mean, it was a different thing. I mean, it was still, you know, but my first, you know, year of house shows was still separate locker rooms. We had to send the referee back and forth.
Wow.
So,
how about today?
Still that old school, you know.
What about today's locker room when you are at a big WWE event? Do you notice anything different now compared to 15 years ago?
You know, I don't know. I'm really not like in the locker room. Yeah. You know, like I'm in areas, in common areas. I'm not in the locker room. You know, I'm not one of the boys. You know, you're the gray-headed legend guy. You know, nobody's going to come up to you and go, "Hey, can I ask you a question? How can I get more money?"
Yeah.
Because they know you're Paul's buddy. You know, so it's just like when you're Hunter's buddy, and you're done. I mean, you're done wrestling. I mean, there's really no reason to have any. I mean, you can ask me, you know, if you're maybe a big guy, you might want to ask me for advice or something, but. That's about it.
Brian from Phoenix, Arizona, 9,351 days as a PW Torch VIP subscriber. Thank you, Brian. Says, Kevin, I've always liked your work. My best friend loved to watch the July 29th, 1996 episode where he threw Ray into the truck like a lawn dart. My question for you is, if you could give Baron Corbin career advice, what one thing would you tell him?
Say that again?
Baron Corbin.
Corbin?
Yeah, what do you think of him and what advice would you give him?
I like him. I think he's talented.
Yeah.
He just needs to get some weight. I mean, that's just a push. He just needs a push. I mean, really. I don't think his work lasts.
I love that he is a believable heel. Like that, I mean,
absolutely.
He comes across as authentically, and you know, and it doesn't matter if it's true or not. But he comes across as authentically that a bad dude, you know, like a guy who would never give an autograph, who would act annoyed by being asked to do any media work. He was great on Talking Smack this week, the network host show. I love that old school approach, you know, that believability factor that he presents.
I think the fact he was also, I mean, he was an NFL player. You know, he's got that legitimate background.
Yeah. Well, related question. Chris in Ann Arbor asked, what does Kevin think about the role of big men in wrestling today? Should their style be any different than it was historically in this current era where super athletic, small to mid-sized wrestlers are putting on a 20-minute match full of spots by both heels and faces?
It is, I mean, it's the reason the big man hasn't dominated in a while is because there aren't any. There's so few and far between.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Cass is really the only big guy on the program.
What do you think of him from what you've seen?
Big Show and Kane. I mean, I like what he does. I wouldn't have thrown him in that mix of that match that they had, that four-way.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ready for that. But, I don't know. He's definitely over.
Yeah. All right, last question. Shinsuke Nakamura, where do you think he ends up in his WWE legacy, Kevin? Does Shinsuke end up getting a fair – I don't want to load the question up. Does Shinsuke Nakamura get pushed as a top guy if Vince McMahon gets his way? Will Triple H have to fight for it? Are you in favor of it? How successful can Shinsuke be once he gets called up to the main roster, and how would you utilize him?
I mean, I think just the fact that they signed like 7 or 8 more Chinese guys, the fact they're in, I think that that the approach that the company's taking right now is a global, and I think that's where your growth is going to be. I think that globally is where the money is. I mean, I think, the United States is kind of burnt out. Sometimes when it gets burnt out like it is right now, the best thing you can do is go other places.
Yeah.
I think he's a huge, cog in that wheel to make sure you can go other places and be, hugely successful. So, but I mean, I think he's phenomenal here. So I think that he's going to be the first huge, Japanese star probably in the WWE. It's like basically their guy.
Do you think Hunter's going to have to fight Vince to get him to push him the right way? Or do you think Vince is going to see something in Shinsuke like just about everybody else does?
I just think that it's one of those things that's, it's intimate and it's got to get out. It's like trying to hold down Elvis.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to be able to do it. He's special.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm excited to see him. I think he can be a difference maker. I really do. Kevin.
Yeah, you too.
I appreciate your time. I know you got to get your workout in. And hope you start feeling better after the UK trip. It's always great having you on the show. We hit so many, a wide range of topics.
Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Yep, sounds good. All right, that is Kevin Nash. I know we got people on hold and emails we didn't get to. Both Kevin and I are a little tight on time today in terms of trying to run over or trying to go past the hour mark. So I appreciate everybody who emailed, who we got to and didn't get to, and hopefully we can get Kevin Nash on again soon. And do some more, have some more conversation with him. He's always got thoughts on what's going on today, and obviously has been a lot of places and provides a really good perspective on things. So that is today's show. Tomorrow in primetime, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant. In the meantime, if you enjoyed the conversation on CM Punk, check out The Fix with Todd Martin. We did a lot of conversation on CM Punk last night on the two-hour Fix with Todd Martin show. That is a VIP exclusive show. Every Wednesday, Todd and I record for roughly 2 hours, sometimes a little less, sometimes more, and discuss current events in wrestling, answer mailbag questions, and he is a in-demand writer and analyst in the world of MMA, in addition to pro wrestling and his work with Pro Wrestling Torch. Just has an article up on SureDog, top MMA site, this week, and he does MMA analysis every week on the Fix with Todd Martin, and we talked a lot about CM Punk in both Parts 1 and Part 2. We reflected on UFC 203 and looked ahead to Fight Night coming up this Saturday. You can get even more perspective on everything going on in the world of MMA every single day at our sister site, MMATorch.com. You can also download our app in the Android or iPhone App Store. Just search MMA Torch. Encourage you, of course, to check out PWTorch.com every day. You can find this show on demand at PWTorchLivecast.com. That's PWTorchLivecast.com. I had a busy day yesterday. Besides 2 hours of the Fix with Todd Martin, I did over an hour with Pat McNeil, a veteran Torch columnist, on the midweek edition of the Livecast, and we covered a lot of topics. Not just Raw and SmackDown and Backlash, CM Punk, Cruiserweight Classic. I think we did some Impact discussion too and a couple other things. So check that out. And then the Raw and SmackDown postgame show is also available to everybody here at PWTorchLivecast.com. If you are not a VIP member, you're missing out on a lot of what we do, not just the Fix with Todd Martin, but the weekend Bruce Mitchell audio show. That's been a centerpiece feature of our VIP membership for a dozen years. And you also get access to tons of archives, tons of other VIP exclusive audio shows, and this livecast. The daily livecast is posted on the VIP audio feed, which, by the way, is compatible. Once you get your membership password, is compatible with popular podcast apps on Android and iPhone and iTunes, or you can stream it right from your web browser. We've got a tutorial, a Q&A. If you have any trouble knowing how to operate apps on your phone, we give you recommendations, step-by-step how to subscribe, give you the RSS feeds. We break it down by category or catch-all. We're real flexible. We're real helpful. We'll guide you through it if you need any help at all, if you're not someone who's super tech-savvy, but you've happened to stumble upon this show and just think you're not sure how it would work with a VIP membership. It works just as well when you're a VIP member. There's just the same way as it does with this show, other than you need a password to get that exclusive content. Here's some more details on what comes with a VIP membership. We'd love to have you as a VIP member, and here's more information on how to sign up and what comes with said membership. If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with a one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.